All right, welcome back to another edition of Transformations Through Running. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of our community that we're building and growing here. And today we're bringing on Mike Peterson. I really love this conversation. I enjoy how he is giving back in a different way. And I feel like as athletes, we'll all have the opportunity to give back in different ways. And I think coaching is one way that there really is no parallel, if you will. I feel like to give back to a younger generation. As athletes, we know what it's like to compete and train and be injured. There's so many things that goes along with being an athlete, but then you get the opportunity to coach and help these younger athletes become great. And doesn't matter if it's within their sport or within their life, we have that opportunity. And Mike throughout the show is going to talk about that, and he's going to explain how much he loves it and how he went from not just playing, but then he went from coaching basketball, then he went from to running, and now he's a running coach as well. So I think it's really cool how he's transitioned his life and how he's giving back in different ways. And I think we all can work towards that in some way in our lives or another. This is Drew, and you're listening to Transformations Through Running. All right, Mike, welcome to Transformations Through Running. Thank you so much for being here. We're super excited to have you on the show with us.
Thanks for having me. Very, very excited to be on the show.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. All right, Mike, will you take a moment here just to resonate with our audience? Tell us who you are, what you do, maybe how you got into running.
Okay, well, those are very different questions, I guess. Who I am is I'm a dad, first and foremost. I have three kids, an 18-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 6-year-old, so busy life there. And my day job is I'm a school counselor at one of the local high schools here in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, the east coast of Canada. And I also coach cross country and track and field at Colonel Gray High School. And last year I took over the cross country program, and I guess really the distance running program, because we do indoor track in Canada as well at University of Prince Edward Island. So the days are busy.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well, thanks for squeezing us in here.
Well, unfortunately, there's a little more time these days, but the 6-year-old takes up a lot of time at home, so it's still not as structured as it should be, but it's still exciting and fun.
It's nice to spend some extra time with family, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's lots of sort of silver linings and guilty pleasures, I guess.
Yeah. How did you get into running yourself?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I've known Jake Simmons, who you had on your show a little while ago there, for a long time, and kind of similar to him, I was a basketball guy for a long, long time. I played in university and then coached in university, coached at Lakehead with Scott Morrison, who's now an assistant coach with the Boston Celtics, and at St. Lawrence College, and high school level, provincial level, and was still playing quite a bit and playing a lot of touch football and other like sort of pickup sports and that kind of thing in my mid-30s, when I was like, I can't really do this forever. What am I going to do? And around that time, my wife had started running. She was in medical school. She worked as a nurse for a long time, and then went to medical school in her late 20s, early 30s, and started running with some friends. And when she did that, I was kind of like, okay, this is something maybe we could do together. And I saw the benefits that she was getting from it, or, you know, physical benefits, mental benefits, spiritual benefits, is the camaraderie she's getting from running with her friends. And I was like, okay, I'd like a little piece of that too. So I just kind of started running a few times a week, and I got hooked, hook, line, and sinker almost instantly, and I guess did a half marathon a little while after, and then went full bore after that.
So what do you know, could you put your finger on it? What was it that you were like, oh, I got to do this? Like, this is something that I can do on a regular basis, something I can get excited about. Is there anything in particular?
Yeah, I think initially, and probably still to a point now, I'm way too competitive. I kind of started running and I was like, oh, I want to get better at this. And then I started getting better at it. And then I did a race, and then I was like, oh, okay, that was okay, but I think I can run faster. And that's kind of what started it. Like, I have no problem saying that that was what kind of got me hooked. You know, it's because it's kind of, you know, you're competing with other people, but it's kind of like golf, I guess. You're kind of competing with yourself just to get better. That's kind of what initiated it. But then I got to meet so many people through running and started coaching running and just really loved that. And then saw the impact it was having on the kids I was coaching. And so it rolled into a whole bunch of really, really good things. So now we're trying to create a culture here on my teams and in our community where, you know, I'm just trying to pass that on so that it can just grow and grow and grow. And it seems to be working.
How is it? Are people responding to it? I mean, I know you mentioned you can run indoors, but in many cases it's freezing.
Yeah.
Most of the time of the year.
Well, actually in PEI, it's tough to run indoors. We compete indoors with the indoor track and field at the AUS level, but we don't have an indoor track in Charlottetown. We are outside every day. So whether we're doing a long run or an easy run or some sort of workout, we are bundling up and trying to find some pavement or something that looks like pavement and hitting the roads. But you know what? It's one of the things that actually builds what we're after, like the camaraderie that we get from doing a workout together when it's minus 20 or we're wearing ski goggles because the snow is coming sideways, or we're just doing loops around one neighborhood because that's the only place the snowplow has been. It you know, it's good in a whole lot of ways. And I guess to answer your question, yeah, it seems to be working. Like when I first moved back to PEI, the high school that I'm at had 6 people on the cross country team, and now some years we're up around 75, and I guess 75 in track and field, and probably 60 in cross country, and we compete all over the place, and usually we fill like a 56 passenger bus to go on trips, and it's become kind of the culture at our school. And in turn, because it's kind of a close-knit community here, it's kind of become, not just because of our group, but because of local, we have a local group called the PEI Roadrunners that puts on a race almost every weekend or second weekend in the summer. And the combination of a whole lot of things has led to Charlottetown and really PEI and becoming sort of this little pocket of running.
And what do you think how can you gauge that success, or what do you think that, how you've guys been able to grow that community?
I think the best way to gauge the success is the number of smiling people you see running down the street. You know, I really love just, you know, when I'm running around myself or biking with my kids or going for a drive somewhere, just seeing the number of people out running. And there's a lot. And really the last 3 weeks, it's even more so. There's been so many people out running a safe distance from each other. And I think what's sort of helped it grow is we just kind of, you know, a few people got hooked and then they told a few friends about it and said, this has been really good. And, you know, we have a lot of fun in workouts with our group. You know, we kind of warm up and tease each other a little bit and have some fun and then go to war for 45 minutes or an hour and work out and then cool down and do the same thing. And it's, you know, people just really enjoy it. And it's a great way to make all kinds of different connections. And what's neat is all the little Venn diagrams of running groups in the community all kind of overlap now. And so, you know, I'll send an email or a text to a friend that kind of runs with other people and say, what time are you guys going at? And then a whole bunch of people will just meet and get out and have a good time.
When we're allowed to get together, you guys usually run together in groups?
Yeah, there's, you know, I guess here there'd be a number of kind of smaller groups of, you know, 10 or 20 people or whatever. But sometimes they'll kind of cross over. You know, for instance, one of my good friends coaches our rival high school team. And they're only a kilometer and a half down the road. So there'll be a lot of days where both groups have easy runs scheduled. And I'll say, okay, we'll go down North River Road to the right at 3:30 and you go to the left and we meet in the middle and we all go run together. And these are kids that like really duke it out and battle each other during cross country and track and field. But as soon as the two groups mix, it's just a bunch of guys shooting the breeze and going for a run.
So you don't have any of them. I'm super competitive myself, so I feel like if I were to meet the competitor, I'd be just edging up a bit further. And then the other guy would be edging up a little bit
further. Yeah, oh, there's some of that. there's some of that, yeah. And even the coach is like, yeah, he's a really good runner. He's faster than I am. But like, if he pushes the pace, I'm going to try to do everything I can to not let him get away too. So I guess it starts at the top and trickles down, but it's been great. I mean, like another, I guess, example of this sort of camaraderie or community that we have here is, last year I went to Boston and Chicago with him and a few friends found out we were going. And the next thing you know, there's 15 of us in Chicago and we all ran the Chicago Marathon and then, you know, did the architectural boat cruise and some of the touristy stuff and had a really good time in Chicago. And same with Boston. I took a van load. So there's seven of us and then a couple other car loads and we all went down and hung out for the weekend and squeezed in a marathon and had some fun.
That's awesome. It's funny. I think a lot of people feel, at least I did before I started the show. I thought running, you kind of go out and do on your own, which at times I appreciate, but, there's so much connection. Like people meet together and run all the time, or they're talking about running or they're planning a run. It's just so much connecting. I feel like it's the exact opposite than a solo sport.
Absolutely. I think it's actually crucial toward improving in running too. Like I just finished the Bob Larson book and it's a huge piece of the puzzle. Like you can get out there and hammer intervals and speed work and long runs by yourself all you want, but it's so much more fun to do it with a bunch of other people. And on days when we have a really good turnout and everybody's kind of going at each other a little bit, if we're doing like some repeats or something like that, and one guy or girl decides to kind of push it a little bit, it's awesome to watch, you know, even though sometimes you don't actually want them racing in practice, but it's still kind of fun to watch them race in practice.
Are you supposed to say that as a coach?
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Tell me about the coaching aspect. I think that's interesting. You say you started out in a different sport, but I feel like at heart we are what we are.
Yeah, I love coaching basketball. I love the chess match that basketball is and how you don't take a break for the whole 40 minutes and you're on and you're planning and you're adjusting. But I love coaching running even more so, I think. I tell you, one thing I love, one difference between the two sports is I never really liked having to take someone off in basketball, you know, and sit them down and or call a timeout and kind of, you know, if you have to get on someone a little bit or, you know, why weren't you on the helpline there or something like that. And in running, you can be positive all the time, right? Like even when the kid's being negative, then I almost have to be more positive to try and get them to come around and realize what we're trying to get out of the workout, realize that this is a long process and not, you know, what you ran in that last 400 really doesn't matter down the road, right? So I really love that part of it. I love that it's probably a good thing that I got into it late. Like I was 36 when I started running. I didn't run a step except for to do, you know, running in practice or running playing the sport until much later. So I'm very certain that I'm never going to lose my passion for it. And I think that the kids see that and they see how much I like it. And I think it's kind of rubs off on them and they follow suit.
Do you have a running philosophy? Like if you look at basketball coaches, for example, they have different philosophies. Do you have a specific way or a different way to coach?
Yeah, I think there's the one thing, I guess one part of a philosophy would be that your philosophy kind of has to be different when you're coaching 60 kids. You can't have the exact same philosophy for all 60 kids, but there's certainly a combination of certain things that works. And I think the most important things are to really encourage that love of running. We have a lot of kids that have started out in the last 10 years that I've been at Colonel Gray that we have this little 4K loop we do with the group. And there's a lot of kids that when they first come, they can't jog the whole 4K loop without stopping. But by the time they're done, you know, we've had kids that are running in university now and varsity teams that started out not being able to do the 4K loop. And that won't happen unless they love it. So you got to make it fun. You got to make them like it. And one way to do that is to have a big group and to have good people involved. And I think those are the two most important pieces. But then when the training itself, it comes down to, you know, you need that combination of, you know, long runs and threshold stuff, and periodization is really important. And, you know, just kind of doing everything the right way, pushing people just the right amount and not too much, and then just kind of seeing where the chips fall. And then you kind of, I guess, like basketball, but on a longer scale, is you have to make adjustments as you go too, and keep everybody healthy. And, you know,
as I grew up as an athlete, and up until high school, I played baseball, football, and basketball. And in every sport, running was a punishment, as you would know. So for you going to a sport where I would imagine like suicides or extra laps would be a punishment, how do you go to a sport like running and try to make that, I mean, the main sport in most cases would have been the punishment. How do you make that fun or enjoyable, or change the stigma that it's not a punishment, I suppose?
Slowly. I totally get what you're saying. I can actually remember dry land training in university and pretending that I didn't like the runs because I could tell no one else did. I was like, yeah, you guys are right. This is terrible. Right. Well, meanwhile, I'm thinking, geez, I don't know if I mind this, you know, it's really not that bad. So, to answer your question, it's the fun factor. It's the competition factor. Like, the stuff that has nothing to do with running is really important, right? Like, we go on this trip to the Maine Festival of Champions every year, which is a huge meet. It's like 1700 kids in Belfast, Maine. It's an amazing meet. So the first thing I do every year, I get on the bus and I give them the speech about how, you know, like, we have three goals in the program. That's like, try and help people become the best people they can, and then try and encourage lifelong wellness. And then if we win some championships along the way, that's great. But then we throw on McFarland, we throw on Prefontaine and Without Limits, and we watch running movies the whole way there. And then part of the way there, I go through the whole bus and give everybody the race plan. And then we watch more movies on the way back, go shopping as a group after the meet. It's all the stuff outside of running that helps. But then when you're on the track or you're on the trail, it's the conversations that happen and, the joking around with each other and just kind of nurturing relationships and that kind of thing while you're competing. And then for some people, it's also the competition, like, you know, especially the kids that really want to go to work. They, you know, once they hurt themselves a few times and realize, hey, this isn't so bad, I can handle this, they can't get enough of workouts, right? Like, I can remember going on a run with a guy who was actually an AUS champion here a little while ago, Cal DeWolf from Nova Scotia. He's a very, very good runner. I think he ran a 226 marathon this fall or something like that, in his first or second marathon. And he was like, when I wake up in the morning, when I know I have a workout, I get excited. He's like, I can't wait to do the workout. And once you like tell a few kids that story and they're like, oh yeah, you know what? Like there is a lot of stuff I like about workouts. They'll get on board and they'll start liking it. And then of course, once they start having results, you know, it's kind of like lifting weights, you know, that first time you can bench press that thing you never thought you were going to be able to bench press. You're like, okay, I actually think I like lifting weights. But running is very similar. That first time you crack 20 minutes in a 5K or, you know, 5 minutes in a mile or whatever your goal is, it's a lot easier to get fired up about it.
Yeah, I feel like you kind of have to love it. Like, when I played professionally, I would train 3 times a day. And during off days, I would be like sad.
And then
you have guys that earlier on, like in university, you had guys that didn't really want to go and train and they didn't love practice. And like, you can't be there and you're definitely not going to go to the next level if you don't have that love for it. You have to have that internal love that, that you really is incomparable to, I think, to succeed and to get to that next level. So I think it's cool that you guys have found that with your guys and helping them understand that that training doesn't have to be so bad. You can actually enjoy it.
Yeah. No, you know, what's really cool is once 3 or 4 or 5 key kids buy in and then the other kids say, okay, like, and they just follow suit. Like, I really don't have to say much anymore. You know, the first couple of years I was walking around the school saying, hey, you look athletic. Why don't you come try running? You know? And then, you know, now I'd just like have a meeting for cross country and the lecture theater's full, right? Like, and we go to that first workout and the other kids see what it's all about and they're like, okay, yeah, I want to be a part of this.
That's awesome. That's got to be, I'm not sure what the word is. It's got to make you feel a bit proud to be like, yeah, this is something that we've been working towards and now we can look back and realize that there was very few before and now you got full rooms full of people. Can't wait to get out there.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I think I'll be most proud when I leave and a few of them take over and it doesn't skip a beat, you know. It's because now, like I said, I'm just a small little piece of it now. I just kind of like say, okay, let's go. And then everyone knows what to do. So yeah, it's good.
What does running look like for you? How often are you training yourself?
I'm pretty consistently 6 days a week. It depends on kind of what I'm training for. I did a 100 miler last summer. So that was a ton of mileage and, you know, waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and going and hitting the trail to practice running in the dark and that kind of stuff. Right now, I was going to do a spring marathon. So I was kind of hitting about 120K a week probably and 5 or 6 days a week. But now that things are kind of on hold, just kind of picking away. I'll probably hit about 85K this week and try and nurse a few little, I'm getting old, I'm 48. So I got a few little bumps and bruises that I'm kind of trying to heal while I still kind of maintain fitness a little bit. So I guess that's where I'm at right now.
How do you find motivation to get out there when there's, I think in most cases, runners sign up for a race and they're like, this is what I'm working towards. Unfortunately, at this time, there is no races. Where's your motivation come from?
Well, I'm kind of like you were when you were playing sports. If I don't go running now, my kids are like, you need to go for a run because you're cranky, right? So yeah. I guess I'm kind of past the point where I need the motivation. Like, I'm still competitive. I still want to run the fastest time that I can. You know, I've got a few marathon time goals that I want to hit and a few, I want to focus a little more on some shorter races this year too, and kind of get some of those PBs down a little bit, before I get over 50 and it's too hard to do. So I, you know, I'm old enough and I guess kind of wise enough in running anyways to know that even though there's nothing on the immediate horizon, the work that I do now is going to pay off later on.
So is there anything in particular that you're working towards that you want to share? Like, I know you mentioned a marathon time, but like, do you have a run, or like a lot of times people are like, I want to do the Boston or I want to do the New York.
I got a few, I guess. Like, I want to finish off all six world majors. I've done the North American ones. I've done Boston, I think five times now, and Chicago twice, and I've done New York, but I want to get over and do London, Berlin, and Tokyo at some point. Our plan is for my 50th birthday, we're going to run Berlin, and I'd like to try and crack a certain time there in Berlin. I also want to do another 100 miler. I was way too conservative. My first one took a long time at aid stations and just kind of took it easy and tried to make sure that I survived. And now I want to actually try and race one and see how I do.
All right, Mike, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to ask you. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we wrap things up here?
No, I think that's pretty good. Like, I guess this is just kind of one more way for me to sort of like tell everybody how much fun running is, and then they can do it and tell two of their friends and just keep it going. And, you know, it's kind of like that philosophy where if you're happy and you try to live your best life and you keep passing that on to as many people as possible, eventually it'll get to everybody. And I think running is a really good way to do that. I guess also if there's any like good high school athletes out there that want to come to UPI, be happy to have them. We're trying to get a program going here and love to have anyone that's interested in running in university.
Awesome, Mike. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today and joining us on Transformations Through Running.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for the opportunity to talk running.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for this edition of Transformations Through Running. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for tuning in and sticking around till the end. We certainly appreciate that. We hope you enjoyed the interview. We hope you got something out of it. I think there's something special about being a coach and being able to give back, as I mentioned at the beginning. And I feel like we can all have that ability, whether it's with our kids or whether it's volunteering or whether it's a job. I think it's a really cool opportunity to spend some time and reflect on what we've been able to accomplish and pass that on to the next generation. So once again, thanks, Mike, for coming on. Appreciate your time. All the best with your running endeavors, your new goals, and everything that you have planned in the future. I want to take a moment to share that same wish for you guys as well. I feel like I don't always get a chance to talk to the audience here, but it is an interview-based show. I do want to wish all the best to our runners, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. I want to thank you for being a part of our community here and tuning in and listening to the show. If you do subscribe, you get a notification when a new show is released. And I think that that's important, so you know when the show is coming out. And so if you never want to miss a show, that's something you can do. We're on different platforms. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Actually, we're not on SoundCloud. I just made that up. We're on Google Play, though, but we're all over the place. We're in different areas, and we're also on radio as well, which is super exciting, too. So that's some news I want to share with you in the near future. Terrestrial Radio, I should mention, much like our other show, Exploring Mind and Body. It's about holistic wellness. That's a podcast. You can find that on pretty much any podcasting platform, but it's also a nationally syndicated radio show as well. So who knows? Maybe we'll be on a number of different stations with this show coming up here in the near future as well, but definitely some exciting news. But you can follow us on facebook.com/trueformlife. That's our business page. That's where we put up nutrition, fitness, lifestyle. That's where we help you improve your digestion and naturally increase energy. We do that through a number of different ways, but you can definitely find us on Facebook if that interests you. You can also find us on Instagram. Instagram.com/DrewTadia is our business page. So reach out to us, follow us along, follow along there to let us know how you're enjoying the show. And for more details, we have recipes and at-home workouts and everything that we can do to help you live this healthy lifestyle. And lastly, you can find all these details in one place on our website at trueformlife.com. Once again, thank you so much for being here, and we hope to catch you on the next show.